Welcome to Benim City Podcast, where we strive to bring you truth for your transformation. Grab your notepad and pen as we lean into this week's message.
Amazing. Let's take our seats. I get excited about things like this. These things just really amaze me. It fascinates me. It's really, really incredible. I want us to go to Acts 4. We're going to be touching on a few verses in there. We've got 45 minutes. So let me do 15 minute sermon and half an hour prayer. Is that okay? All right. Is that okay? Wonderful. So let's do this very quickly. and then we'll pray. Amen. Acts 4 verse 1. I'm going to read very quickly and then we're going to get into it. The Bible says, "Now as they spoke to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in the Jesus that resurrected from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came up to about 5,000. It's interesting that when these disciples received something that was quite traumatic, they received the news of something that was very traumatic, which was their Lord Jesus, their master, their king had passed away. It's interesting that when they received that bad news, they became better people. It's interesting that on account of a traumatic event, they were actually upgraded. The people that they were once yesterday were not the people that they became today. And it wasn't on account of something crazy that had happened in a positive light. It was something that was actually quite negative. But it's interesting in there because in the verse 3, I believe, it literally says that these people were preaching the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They had gone through various situations. They had gone through various things. But in that moment, even when they started preaching about Jesus, they started hitting persecution. And these people were arrested. When they were arrested, they were put into custody. Imagine we're in service today and someone comes upstairs with a whole battalion of police and arrests every single one of us and put us in prison. Not on account of the fact that you've broken a law, but on account of the fact that you are talking about Jesus. Now, this is what it meant at the time. There was persecution not on account of these people's actions against the law. There was persecutions on account of the fact that these people believed in this person, this name, Jesus. So let's go to verse 7. The Bible then says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to an helpless man, by what means he has been made well?'" What this story is and what this chapter is, and because of time, I don't want to read the whole chapter, but please do read into it. It started off with these people preaching about Jesus. That was annoying enough. But then when they preached the name Jesus, people were actually healed. These people were still hated even more. Now, the people who hated it literally were beginning to ask them, "How did you do that? By what power did you do that?" And it was important because the glory didn't come to them alone. The glory didn't come into their ability. The glory didn't come to their capacity. Their glory was not turned to them. They literally said, "It is by the Holy Spirit that we are able to do all of this. It is by the person that we believe," meaning it's by the name of Jesus, "that we are able to do all of this." When you fast forward, the story then goes on to these moments where they are put in front of the Sanhedrin. They are put into jail. And then the Bible literally continues and it says that when they looked at these people and these people began to speak, they realized that these people had not been with anybody else. They recognized someone when these people were speaking. They recognized that these people had been with Jesus Christ. And when they recognized these people, they then began to wrestle among themselves, but they released them with a caution. And they said, "When we release you from custody, I want you to go outside, but I don't want you to mention the name of Jesus ever again. I mean, you are banned from talking about him. These people then went out. The first thing they did is that they went to the upper room. They gathered all the disciples together. And then they started praying. And they prayed and said, God, give us boldness to speak your word. It took boldness for them to do it in the first place. Because if it didn't take boldness, why are some of us fearful of speaking about Jesus outside? So it took a measure of boldness for them to communicate the gospel to a point where it irritated the people of the system. So when they communicated this gospel with boldness, they were arrested on account of this, warned and persecuted on account of this, told that they should not speak about Jesus again. They come out, go back to a place of prayer, and they begin to ask God, God, we need more boldness now. We need more boldness because there is much that is against us, but we need to talk about you freely. Rhoda touched on something, and on Friday we talk about how we have become desensitized to so much of what's happening in the world. We've become numb to the evil in the world. So now situations and turbulences are happening within our community, and most of us don't actually move an inch anymore. Like, oh, that's another person that has been killed by knife crime. And it's now like so many things are just happening and happening and happening. And we become very numb to it. And I gave the example of where I work. I've become very numb to people getting punched in the face. I have. Because I see it every single day. I see it every single time. And I realize that we become so numb to the evil that has been happening in the world. And because of that, because of the numbness, it's taken away our compassion. It's taken away our ability to care that these people are in the midst of trials. That we can walk amongst people that are homeless and it doesn't move us anymore. It doesn't move us anymore. Something doesn't trigger within us that, wait, hold on, there is someone actually suffering here. There are families actually dealing with a lot. It doesn't move us. And I ask the question of whether our compassion is still there. I look at this and I say, my compassion has to be as strong as my conviction. My conviction is to God. My compassion is to people. Everyone following me? So it's my compassion that will drive me to serve people. My conviction will lead me back into a place of intimacy with God. But it's through that conviction, he will lead me to him. And it's through compassion, he will call me to serve people. Everyone following me? Yes, so the question is, where is your compassion? Where's your compassion for the matters of the world? Because people are going through things. And you have the name of Jesus. We have the truth that has liberated us. We believe that truth will liberate anybody who comes into encounter with it. Does that make sense? And we began to speak about this concept of even death. And we understand death not to be a literal thing, but death to self. And I was explaining on Friday that if you know, God forbid, but next year, April, you were going to pass on, how would you live your life? If you know, God forbid, you only had next week, and you would pass on, how would you live your life? Some people said they will scrap marriage. They said they won't get married because we've got work to do. If I've got 1 week, I will disturb everybody. Everybody will hear about Jesus. Some people also said, if they know they have next week or 2 months, they will get married today. Today they will get married. Who are you? That's my wife. Who are you? That's my husband. Come. Let's fortify ourselves. Hallelujah. So, some people said they will get married today. Because if they are leaving the earth, they have to leave with something. So I asked the question. Because I asked myself, because as of late, I've been going back and forth and I've been on a plane quite a lot. Glory be to God. And it's been amazing. But I said that if I knew that I was going in April, even that plane journey, people would know about Jesus. People would know. The moment I go downstairs, everybody, Jesus is coming. I would turn into John the Baptist. Don't even give me, I'll wear Primarché. It's not Primark. Because when I wear it, it's designer. So it's Primarché or Primani. That's what they say, isn't it? So I'll wear Primark. I don't care about all of the, because all my money I'll give to people. And I realized that if my attitude changes when the concept of death comes, I'm still alive. I'm not actually dead. I'm not actually dead yet. I'm not actually dead to my own desires because I'm still choosing myself. If you know that on account of next week, you could pass on and your life will be different, it means you're not living the life you're supposed to be living. Wow. You're still fearful of people. Wow. Wow. You're still concerned about how people perceive you. Wow. You're still concerned about how you'll be received by people, because we say we're not fearful of men. But if you begin to realize that your whole character, everything about you, your passion and your love for God now changes completely. It changes completely. Your whole life changes on account of the fact that you know, because the reason why it changes is because you know that at a certain point, I'm not going to exist anymore. So I'm not going to, you know, when you're dead, you don't care about what people think. Yeah. You're gone. Yeah, yeah. If I know that after next week, I'm going to go, I will do everything because I know next week I'm gone. But that's, are you all following me? It's the understanding that we have that I now had to ask myself again. And I said, God, I speak about this death thing, but I'm alive. I'm still alive because I'm still focusing on what people think about me. I'm not living my life as if I was dead. It's crazy, isn't it? And I realized that there is so much more that God needs to break within me. Break within me, because my whole life will change on account of the revelation. You know what will be so mad? You hear and you think God has told you you're going to pass on next week. You do all of that, and then God will say, you know what? Congratulations. I'm giving you 50 more years. Now go outside. You will be scared to go outside for 6 months. So the question for you now is, what's next? The question for you now is, what's next? On account of everything that you know about Jesus Christ, what are you willing to do? Essie, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? Who are you going to be? Are you going to be the people that will, the person that people will be pleased with? Are you going to be the person that will be widely accepted by people? Or are you going to be the person that Jesus Christ has ordained you to be? Remember, it is not about anybody else. It is not about the opinions of people. It is not about, and we say this, but we now realize that in actuality and in real life, this thing is quite difficult, right? Otherwise, everybody would be, listen, if everybody knew, we would all go downstairs and act differently. We will all go downstairs and act differently, but why is it that that's not our lifestyle choice every single day? Why is it that those actions only change when we realize that there was something else that's coming, or we may not exist anymore? I always say, we hear about calamity, we hear about trials, we hear about so many things in our world, and there is an uproar whenever something happens within our community. And I say that if there is always an uproar, whenever something crazy happens, we look at brutality, we look at violence, we look at all of these things, and the community rage. Whenever something bad happens, and I say that they rage on account of the fact that they know that pain has been inflicted onto the community. And you as a Christian know, you know that at the end of time, there are going to be those that will be with Jesus and those that will not be with him. You know that there is a greater pain coming. You know the concept of hell. You know all of these things, but why doesn't that move you to a point where you want to talk to people about Jesus? Why is it that you are satisfied? Why is it that you are okay with knowing Jesus for yourself, but you give excuses under the sun as to why you can't talk to people about Jesus? Why can't we do that? Why is that so difficult? And you have to ask yourself these questions, because these questions are questions of reflection. Because when we talk about prepare the way, we've understood it that it's a twofold idea. We prepare the way for Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ through us actually prepares the way for us to live a life that he has always demanded us. Because for some of us, our intimacy with God has been strengthened and equipped in these last 11 days. And now you're seeing things differently. We can talk about demonstration. We can talk about all of those things, but we have to hone in on the most important thing. Most important thing is, who are you? Who are you? If we say it is not I who live, but it's Christ that lives on the inside of you. When we ask the question of who are you, the answer has to always be Christ revealed through me. It always has to be. And the world isn't waiting for anybody else. When creation is waiting in eager expectation, it's not waiting for Canaan, it's waiting for the sons of God. It's waiting for you to demonstrate yourself on account of the Father, the lineage that you are from. So we've been dragged from the old lineage. We've been dragged from the situations because we've understood that for some of us, we are living the consequences of the actions of our forefathers. We're living out the actions or the consequences of the decisions made by people who didn't consider anybody else. They just considered themselves in a moment. They didn't care about anything else. So we've been plagued with things that it's not actually us. We didn't actually sign up for this war. We didn't actually sign up for this difficulty. We woke up today and for some strange reason, we have been battling with mental things. We've been battling with depression. We've been battling with different things. And it's not on account of the fact that we've actually done anything, but I realized that doors have been opened that hasn't been closed. So for you and I, there has to be an opportunity for us to actually close certain doors. But can I tell you that the hand that holds the door and closes it, it's not your door. It's not your hand. It's the hand of God. It is not you. It is not you. I have to emphasize this again because too much of preaching, too much of the word has become about you. Too much of the word has become about self. Too much of the word has become about what you can do, but it's yes, you are a part of it, but it's God working through you. The work of men is God's work. And that's why you can never fulfill God's promises outside of God. You can never do that. If you take fish out of water, you will kill it. Take men out of intimacy with God, you will kill them. It's fact. That's the understanding of the scripture. So I want you all to understand something very, very important, because when we begin to avail, when we begin to travail in the spirit, it's going to be very, very important that you have to be molded to being like Christ. You have to be molded. You have to become like him. Whatever it will take, even if it means divorcing me. Some of you are in relationship with yourself too much. You love yourself way too much. We're not saying that hate yourself. We're saying that build relationship with yourself that is critical in moments when you have done wrong. Know when. Build a healthy critique over yourself. That you look back and you say, you know what? You know what? And I said this to the leadership class. The most difficult person to lead is yourself. Because in your eyes, you're always right. In your eyes, you never do no wrong. But when you actually look and you actually reflect on yourself, you take a step back and you say, you know what, I did something wrong here. And you are humble enough to actually accept that everything that isn't going right isn't because of the blame of somebody else, it's because I haven't actually stepped up. Everyone following me? So we look at this story, of these men who, on account of tribulations, on account of trials, they now emerge as great men. They now emerge as people who are now used by God. When you read the book of Acts, the Bible then says that in the midst of persecution is when the church grew. In the midst of great difficulty is when growth came. Because they never lost sight of the main thing. They never lost sight. In the midst of all of that, they knew how to go back to Jesus. They knew how to go back to God. And there are many things that God wants to do in your life. But the basis of the message today, is just a small exhortation. We're going to teach more kind of vividly in this week. So tomorrow we're back on the live. But we're going to teach a lot more because we're going to be sat down. We're going to really actually go through this thing properly. But the basis of everything is to just equip you. It's to just help you understand that there is greater in you, but that greater will not emerge if you don't build relationship with Jesus. If you don't. You cannot forsake things that are unrighteous inside of you if you are still embracing unrighteousness. Habits need to come to an end, not on account of your own discipline, but on account of intimacy with Jesus. We've seen it, that's why we can speak about it. We've experienced it, that's why we can speak about it. We can't talk about things that we haven't encountered. So when we say it with deep conviction because we've been there. We've been liberated. We've been delivered. We've been in those moments where we needed just something. And that something was so many things that we tried. But when we came across this name, Jesus, something changed. I always say this about my testimony, that if you knew me before all of this stuff, you will not recognize it. My friends who knew me back then will not. They say this all the time because it's a different person. It's not on account of anything that I have done. It's on account of the person I encountered. I became more like Christ. I became more like him. So I am selfless because he is selfless. I am selfless on account of the fact that God himself, John 3:16, had his one and only son and he died on a cross for me. And I understood that. And I said, I have to become like him. I have to. Church could be gimmicks for you. It could be things for you, but this is my life. This is your life, Ezra. This is about you and God. Everything that you are today is about intimacy. Who you are in public is a result of who you are secretly. So don't forsake the secret in order to look good publicly. I'm telling you, it will not get you anywhere. You can rise up, but you'll be exposed. I'm telling you, if your foundation is rocky and you're still rising up, I beg you, test everything. Be very cautious. If you're still rising, though your foundation is shaky. Be very, very cautious because I'm telling you, the rising up is not on account of anything else. The enemy is allowing you to rise so he can shake people. Because when you fail, many people will fail with you. So I look at myself and I say, I cannot fail today. I cannot fail ever. My discipline has to be strengthened. If I don't have strength within me, I need to find neighbors. I need to find people. I need to find community that will help me together. We will help one another because my strength is not in myself alone. I don't have the capacity by myself. If Jesus Christ could have done everything by himself, he would have done it. But even when he came, he needed 12 men. 12 men to carry the vision. So isolation is not my portion.
Yes.
Huh? Yes. It's not my portion. I don't walk by myself. If you see me, you will see people behind me.
Yes.
Whether you look at it physically, but spiritually, open your eyes and you will see.
Yes.
We don't walk alone.
Yeah.
Isn't it Liverpool that say that? You will never walk alone. Yeah. It is Liverpool, isn't it? Everyone rise up. We're going to pray because I almost went into the word for tomorrow and I had to stop myself. John 16, 12 to 13. Whew. I want you to pay attention to this and we're going to pray. Oh dear. John 16 from verse 12. Listen to this. The Bible says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. How is Jesus Christ speaking? And he's saying, I have many things to say to you, but he doesn't want you to hear it. He wants you to bear it.
Wow.
He's not concerned with your ability to hear. He's concerned with your ability to bear it. What does bearing mean? Bearing means to hold it like it's a burden upon you. I have many words. I have many words, but my words is not for you to hear. My words is for you to take it on as a burden.
Wow, wow, wow.
It's for you to take this thing on. It's to hold it. In the Greek, it literally describes the word bear as holding on to a person. It means to carry a person, to put on something in order to carry it. So now he's saying, I have many words to say to you, but do you have capacity to hold on to it? Do you have capacity to bear it on your shoulders? Because the concept of the word meeting flesh, the concept of the word meeting people, is that they might become the word. I'm telling you, the disciples didn't just hear the word, they became the word.
Yes, yes.
They became the manifestation of everything that they had learned.
Yes, yes, yes.
So when Jesus Christ says that verily, verily, I say to you that you will do more in my absence, we read in Acts 4 and some of you missed the revelation. Some of you missed it. Because at the start, when they were preaching, the Bible says that they preached to 5,000 people. In one moment in a sermon, they preached to 5,000 people. We talked about Jesus Christ feeding these 5,000 people. He amounted to that much. But in the first thing that the disciples did, they preached to the same number that Jesus Christ did to. They started where he ended off.
Yes.
They did more. They began to do more. We talk about Jesus Christ raising Lazarus up from the dead. We look at stories in the scripture where the man of God was preaching. Someone fell asleep, fell and died on the floor from the top floor. They fell. He went downstairs, rise up. Even though he was dead, he raised him up, resurrected him, and went back upstairs and went to teach. And I look at that and I marvel as to the point as to why are we still focusing on what the disciples did when we are using that? We should use that as a blueprint for how we are supposed to live and do more. So the question for you is, do you have capacity to bear? Do you have capacity to bear the weight of the word? Because I'm telling you, there are many hearers, not many bearers. To hear needs ability. To bear means capacity. It means capacity to be able to hold on to. James was saying it. When he became obedient to the instruction, he received more capacity to do more. I always say the mystery of our lives is that you are always at your limit, but you are never at your limit to a point where you will say no to an instruction from God. I will always be at my capacity, but when the word of the Lord comes, my capacity is stretched.
Yes, yes, yes.
My capacity is stretched even more, because there is greater in me. And if there is greater in me, it means that God has to do something through me. I will stand as someone in this generation that will speak about Jesus. I will stand as someone in this generation that people will know about Jesus Christ through. We couldn't care less about fame. We couldn't care less about how people view us. We couldn't care less about all of that stuff. God knows the intentions of our hearts. We can say what we need to say. So many people are doing this on account of their name being popular. Can I speak to people that don't care about how people perceive them? They just want people to know Jesus. I'm asking you the question today. I'm asking you this question, Canaan, help me. I'm asking you the question, do you have ability? Do you have capacity? Do you have capacity to bear the weight of the word? Because the weight of the word means that you have to become it. You have to become love. Love is not a concept. Love must be defined in you. When people meet you, they must meet love. When people meet you, they must meet peace. You cannot be arrogant, because that's not a fruit of the spirit. Self-control must be evidenced in you. It must be evidenced in you. Come on. Pray that God will give you capacity to become.